This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
How are you feeling about your Yankees at the moment? What are we, 16 games left? Is that right?
No, I think it's 16, no?
16 or 15.
I think it's 16, but you could be right, I guess.
I thought it was 18 on Monday, now they played.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So it's 15 now.
I don't know.
They're 82 and 64, right?
So that what is that?
It's 146.
16 left. See, I was right.
See, don't question me.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
To the Giants we go. We are now 12 hours away from this game. Actually, 14 hours away from this game.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Listen, I didn't know we were going to have to do math at this hour in the morning. So I apologize. But I think I was good that first hour.
I thought you were great that first hour.
Yeah.
I'll say this, too. So, it was hobnobbing at the NHL meetings.
Uh-huh.
And, so I was sitting next to Ryan Callahan. And, just the pleasantries, like, how you doing? Where are you living these days? What's going on? So, back and forth. And he's like, you still doing the radio? I was like, yeah, 5 to 8 every morning. He's like, how's that? I'm like, it's great. I mean, we talk sports for 3 hours a day. And once you get back, past the initial shock of waking up so early.
Right.
It's awesome. Like, I love it. And he's like, well, what do you guys talk about mostly? He's like, a lot of hockey? I was like, no. We'll talk
hockey
a little bit, but it's, it's Knicks and Nets. It's Giants. It's Jets. It's Mets. It's Yankees. And he's like, whoa. You talk about all that? I'm like, yeah. We have two of everything. We have to watch two basketball games. We have to watch two baseball games, two football games. He's like, every night? I was like, yep, every single night.
He felt overwhelmed by this.
Yeah, he couldn't believe it. He's like, you watch.
So you gotta, like, couldn't believe it. He lives in New York. He knows there are multiple teams.
No, I know. But when you say it out loud, like these, like you do radio in other cities. Like I'm down in Tampa listening. They got, you got the Rays. You got the Bucks. You got the Lightning. You know what I mean? Like it's just like a football Sunday is you can relax. You watch your game and then you hang out. And you can check in on all the other games because you're mostly talking Bucks. Like we sit down on a Sunday. It's especially when they play at the same time. I mean, that's your dialed into the Jets.
Oh, I'm locked into every game. I mean, there's not a play that happens that I'm not dialed into.
No, here's my confusion. I understand that. But you got to break down, though. You're breaking down two teams every day.
Correct. You're breaking down the minutiae of two teams. But here's my confusion. Ryan Callahan, Captain Cali, didn't he play here for like a decade?
Yeah, but he doesn't.
How did you surprise him? Wait a minute. You have two baseball teams in New York?
No, he knew that. But I just think he was like, wow, that's a lot. I was like, yeah, I mean, it's a lot, but what would I rather be doing right now?
I got to be honest, and I probably shouldn't be because I don't think you've been all that nice to me this entire week and the whole jealousy thing when Carlin hosted and I don't know, you felt the way about that. I would stand by this. There is no one, and I mean no one, in all of sports talk radio that is more prepared and knows what happens in and out of every single game better than you. I would put you against anyone in that battle.
It's the nicest thing you've ever
including
said.
You are, I think I know a lot about, now stop it. I'm not trying to kiss up to him, but I think that including me, there's not a day that we turn on the radio that there is anything that I can mention that you'd be like, wait, I'm not familiar with that. That happens to me. Like there's things that I don't know. You'll say, did you see this? I'll say, no, I'm pretty good, but there's nothing that you're not aware of. It's unbelievable.
That's the nicest thing you ever said to me, and it only makes me love you more.
But it's true. Like, I wouldn't say it if it's not true. You know me well enough now to know I'm not going to say stuff just to say stuff.
No. No, that's it. I mean, everything you say is really how you feel. There's really no filter there, yeah.
In fact, the kids, and I actually felt great about this. I don't know if I told you this. So a couple weeks ago, I don't know, one of the kids, I don't even remember which one it was, had some sporting event. And they came home and they're like, Mom, how do you think I did? What do you think I did? And I guess it was Alex because Ben goes, ask Dad. You know he's going to tell you the truth. And I was like, that's awesome that they know if they ask me how they did, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. They're going to get exactly my opinion of how they did in their event or their game.
But you know that is rare. You know that. I mean, you've been around sports long enough, especially with your kids, that doesn't That's not the case very often.
Listen, I'm sorry. It's how I'm wired. And so my point is in telling you that I think you are as well, not even as well prepared, better prepared than anybody I have ever met and would put you up against anybody at the moment is completely legitimate. Just ask my kids.
Oh, I appreciate that, Dave.
Yes.
I appreciate that a lot. See, true. Here's the thing, though. Here's my struggle, because I'm the same as you. And you know, I always tell the stories about my dad holding his nose and everything else and how that affected me. But I always hear stories about, like, I mean, you listen to Derek Jeter's Hall of Fame speech or all these, you know, guys that are the best of the best. And they always go back to how they were raised and, you know, it was either competing with their brothers or, you know, their dad wouldn't let them win. Like, Jeter's dad would never let him win. And it's like, I guess you try to strike that right balance where you're trying to be, you know, you don't want to discourage them, but you also want to be honest with him.
Right. And listen, there was a game Ben was closing a couple of years ago, and he lost the game. And I wasn't going to be the dad who was like, you stunk and you didn't throw us. You know, like, it was that moment of I put my arm around him, we walked home, and he was crying, and it was like that. Like, I'm not a horrendous guy, but I'm not going to lie to him. If they say, did I play well? I'm not going to say, yeah, you were great. I'm so proud. Like, and they've asked me in the past, like, are you proud that I do this? I'm like, I'm always proud of you. Like, yeah, I'm always proud of you, but did you play well? Yes or no? I'm just going to give an honest assessment, an honest answer. But I stand by it as good as anybody out there in your preparation for this show. All right, I'm done hobnobbing with you now, all right? I've probably...
Well, you got me all fired up for the next 2 hours. I feel good now.
Really?
Oh, a little shot of confidence I needed.
Well, I guess that's good.
No, it's great.
Yeah.
It's great, especially if it's true.
That I could do... Yeah, it's absolutely true. All right. So I said it yesterday. I didn't realize it would have such ramifications across the airwaves on 98.7 ESPN, but this is a must-win for the Giants. Listen, is it must-win where if they lose, the season, in fact, is over? No. But for all intents and purposes, in my mind, they start out 0-2, having lost. And here's the biggest reason I say it, Rick, because these are two games that I thought realistically they could win. Right, I thought Denver, you said it for months leading up to it. I thought Denver was an imminently winnable game. And what upsets me so much is not even that they lost, it's that the game heading into the fourth quarter was over. So now I turn my attention, it's Washington. It's a team you've had tremendous success against, and they do not have their starting quarterback. Find a way to win the game. I would prefer if Daniel Jones plays well and kind of leads you to that victory. I don't care what happens. Find a way to be 1-1 when we start the show at 5 o'clock in the morning.
You just said it, though. I mean, you just said it. It wasn't that you lost in week 1 in a game I thought you had to win. It was how it looked. It was how you lost. It was how bad your offense looked. It was the fact that Daniel Jones turned the football over. You scored 7 points. I get Denver's defense is pretty good, but you scored 7 points. Right? And then on top of that, you thought going in that the strength of this team would be their defense, and it only should be better because you added Adoree Jackson. Like, you felt better about your defense moving forward because they surprised you last year, and they didn't look great in week 1.
No, nothing looked good. Outside of Sterling Shepard, I don't think anything looked very good from the Giants in week 1. And how is that okay? If McManus hits a 57-yard field goal and the Giants lose 23-21 and they played well and Jones was good and they moved the football, you know what? I wouldn't feel as dire as I do right now. None of that happened in week 1.
Well, think about the difference, right? We got one of the biggest Dallas Cowboy fans I know on the show, and he was resigned to the fact, you know, going into Tampa, they're going to raise, it wasn't even a banner, but whatever, they were going to celebrate the Super Bowl.
It's just not for Ray.
It wasn't for Ray because they were going to get thrashed. And then all of a sudden, they go out, defense looks okay, Dak Prescott looks like he's all the way back, mm-hmm. Offense looks great,
Cooper
and now
phenomenal, yep.
And now moving forward, he feels good about Dallas.
Oh, they're suffering a lot of injuries.
Tons of injuries.
Yeah.
Tons of injuries.
You see that DeMarcus Lawrence injury yesterday?
It's just not for Ray.
Did you see that one?
I did. 6 to 8 weeks. Broke
and then
foot.
And then you wonder why you suffer this Giants karma. I'm just saying.
What do you mean? First of all, you're evil. So for those of you that don't know, the injury news came out on Twitter, and I sent a kind of a CC to Ray, which means carbon copy, Rick. I sent a CC to Ray saying, listen, I just want you to know what's happening. He's hurt, and DeMarcus Lawrence will be out for 6 to 8 weeks.
You act like you're doing me some sort of favor.
I want you to be in the know. That's what I'm doing for you.
You act like I'm not in the know, first of all. You're being completely disingenuous. Like,
not
I wouldn't
disingenuous.
Know about that.
I see these things, and my first thought is, God, I wonder if Santiago knows. Let me bring it to his attention.
It's like I did with the Tony Romo injury a few years ago. It's all good.
I saw you at that fantasy football convention, and my first thought is, Ray needs to know that Tony Romo is hurt, and I bring it right to your attention.
Because I didn't see him get folded like an accordion the day before. I didn't see that.
You know the severity and the time frame of the injury. I'm doing you a service. I'm like Sports Phone, the modern day Sports Phone for you.
An embarrassment.
And we saw how that turned out for Sports Phone.
Yes. Not so good.
Santiago is like the Puerto Rican Skip Bayless as far as his Dallas Cowboy fandom is concerned.
Did you take that back?
I apologize. Hop Bayless Santiago.
Hot take Santi.
Hot take Hop. Hop Santiago. Skipping a hop. No, but Dave, we all know why you do it. You did it to Gundling, and then the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
No, Gundling was worse. I didn't mock anything with Santiago. Gundling, I was like skipping. Good morning, Andrew. I was like, did you see that Carson Wentz is out for the season?
That's the thing, though. But how you just did it.
I don't see a difference.
No, there's no difference because
of course there is. And by the way, Gundling does nothing to provoke me. Gundling is such a nice guy and
don't
never provokes me.
Him.
Santiago, do you see the emails that go around? I wonder what Trent Dilfer is smoking that he would say that Daniel Jones could be a good player. Like, Santiago always takes shots. He always does.
Thank you for confirming, first of all, that you actually read the emails.
I responded immediately to the email.
That's what I'm saying. I was surprised. I had no idea that you were in. Like, let me see if he's paying attention.
Oh, I'm paying attention. I know everything that's going on.
I was pleasantly surprised to see that.
Bad guy. So do not compare Gundling, who's benign and kind, to Santiago, who is, he's disastrous and mind-numbing,
as you say,
but he's below the radar.
As you say, I'm just pointing out statistics and making sure that you're aware of them.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know as many things as possible being the host of this show.
Rick, is he not a savage below the radar?
Yeah, he's a savage.
Yes.
I mean, he's secretly diabolical, but I'll say this, though, in defense of Santiago, because you do the same thing with Gundling. It's how you say it. Did you see that Carson Wentz blew his knee? Of course Andrew saw that Carson Wentz blew his knee out. Of course Santiago saw that DeMarcus Lawrence is going to be out.
But with Andrew, I literally like skipped into the newsroom. And I was like, good morning. What a beautiful day.
And if we still had a newsroom for you to skip into, you would have done that this morning as well.
No, there was no skipping. It was factual yesterday. All I did, Ray, I want to make sure you've seen this.
I see no difference.
DeMarcus Lawrence.
I see literally no difference in what you did yesterday and what you did to Gundling. None.
No.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
John in Long Branch. Good morning, John. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, gentlemen. To me, this clearly falls on Gettleman. I mean, when you look at this last draft, we passed on Rashawn Slater, one of the surefire offensive linemen, and grabbed a gimmick wide receiver who Bird's not going to know how to use. The previous year, okay, there was four offensive tackles graded in the first round. Who do we grab? We grabbed the worst one, you know, between Becton, Wills, Burks. We get Andrew Thomas. You go back the year before that. In a quarterback weak draft, we overreach for Daniel friggin' Jones. It's never ending. This guy's clearly the problem and not the solution. And I'm losing my mind here, boys.
I feel the same way. That's my spirit animal in a call. You look at what they did, and you look at what they've done. And Rick, we went through it yesterday. The second pick, the fourth pick, the sixth pick, the 20th pick. Last 4 years, Evan Engram as well, all on offense. And this is the offense you put out there week after week.
Yeah, don't forget too a high second round pick on Will Hernandez.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't worked out. But I'm telling you, man, when you go back, and it's kind of like the conversations we have about baseball, right? Like the decision you make on Tuesday could directly affect how you manage the game on Wednesday. It all has a trickle-down effect. If you go back to when, and I'll stand by this, it was ownership's decision to try to ride it out with Eli Manning. I mean, Ben McAdoo. I know Giants fans can't stand Ben McAdoo, but Ben McAdoo actually suggested, hey, maybe we should draft Pat Mahomes.
Yep.
And I think Eli's passed it.
It was laughed at.
But was laughed at.
Okay.
But because of that, but because ownership decided we want to try to get Eli back to the playoffs one more time, they decided we're going to try to win now. So it set off this chain of events where you took Saquon with the second overall pick. And now you end up taking Daniel Jones with the sixth overall
pick. But why did you have to take Daniel Jones there?
Well, because you needed a quarterback, right? Like, that was the thing. Like, now we need a quarterback. And the mindset with quarterback is you can't – if you decide this is my guy, you can't draft him too high, right? Like, I've heard you say that. If you decide –
and I stand
like, don't
by
get
that.
Cute. Okay, don't get cute. So, because in the quarterback-rich draft, where they could have taken Josh Allen, they said, you know what? We got to win now. Let's take Saquon Barkley. And now they force themselves into taking a quarterback in the next draft instead of maybe, hey, you know, Josh Allen – is just sitting there for us. And we need edge pass rush. No, we need a quarterback. So you don't take Josh Allen. And then you fast forward, you know, now you fast forward when, you know, you take Andrew Thomas, you could have taken Justin Herbert. And he's not wrong about Rashawn Slater. Your offensive line stinks.
Stinks.
Did and you Slater see Rashawn looks Slater like he's going to be a star. Against the Washington football team? Did you see him?
He was great. He was phenomenal. He completely neutralized whatever Washington was sending him his way. It's just frustrating, is what it is. It's just extremely frustrating. Q, if you go by one letter, you have to be a good caller. Q, you're next up on 98.7, my man.
Hey, fellas, what's going on, man? Appreciate
I told you.
Call.
I could tell already Q's going to be great.
He's
go ahead,
good
Q.
Voice.
Yeah, great voice.
Well, I've been watching the Giants for years now, man, and I'm very frustrated because I'm looking at the schedule. I don't see many wins on this team coming up. We don't win this game. Maybe, possibly, we could possibly win the Atlanta game. The schedule from there on out, it's not looking good for the Giants. So this is definitely a must-win. Mm-hmm. Offensively, I don't know how you muster up 7 points. And you know, it's like the same thing over and over again. I just don't see the Giants doing much improvement. And Daniel Jones, I don't see him lasting, I guess, outside of the season this year. What do you think?
Well, that's not optimistic.
Well, no, he's being realistic. He's
no,
like
I think
you.
He is too.
Here's the thing, though. Think about how much different this conversation would be right now had they won that first game. Had they beaten Denver. Because now you're going into Thursday, like, okay, it's a division game. Daniel Jones has played really well against Washington, hasn't lost to Washington. I like our chances, but even if, you know, for whatever reason, we lose.
Right.
Now we got Atlanta. So now we're looking at, for the first time since 2017, we could be 2-1 and we could be over 500.
For the first time since 2017, you would have been 1-0.
Exactly right.
If you would have won that opening game. I'll go one further with you, though. How about if they had just played well in that Denver game? If they would have played well and Jones had a good game and they ran the ball effectively, I wouldn't feel like this right now heading into week two.
No, you wouldn't have. And I don't think you would have been as uneasy too going into week one had you seen more in the preseason. Because you were concerned. I mean, I know you were concerned about the offensive line. You're always concerned about the offensive line. But they start shuffling pieces, bringing guys in. And then, you know, at RJ's wedding, when you're being a bad guy watching the game, the last preseason game, I mean, you're left going, oh, did he really just throw a pick in the red zone like
oh,
that?
Oh, he
like,
sure
this,
did.
This
he
is what
sure
we're going to see now?
It's the thing that's so frustrating. It's the same mistakes over and over and over.
Dave, it's 40 turnovers, Dave. 40.
Listen, you do not need to tell me. Brandon in Orlando. Good morning, Brandon.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing all right.
I just wanted to let you know. I just wanted to remind you of something that happened a few months ago. The Islanders were playing Tampa. And Dave Wiss said karma on the Islanders.
Of course he did.
And so this is the return. And so I love it. I love the collapse for Dave.
Well, it's not really a collapse. It was never built.
I love this call.
Why? You know what? I was so nice to you earlier in the day.
No, I know, but he's
right. And this is the response I get?
No, because, listen, Brandon had receipts. He's right. You were throwing all sorts of nasty.
You do this with the rain. Every time the Rangers lose a game, you take shots.
Yeah, when they lose.
Okay.
I don't go into it throwing the bad juju.
If the Rangers were in game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals, you wouldn't be anti-Rangers?
No, but you know me well enough. I wouldn't say anything. In my mind, I'd be anti-Rangers, but I would never verbalize
it. Please. Just because I verbalize. I'm a wordsmith. This is what I do. I craft beautiful phrases and sentences.
Now, what you do
shouldn't be penalized for it.
No, you are, but you have been, though, and you don't learn from your mistakes. You're like Daniel Jones with the fumbles.
Hey, Andrew, did you see that Carson Wentz blew out his knee?
It was worse. I got to be honest, it was worse than that.
And then all of a sudden,
it was terrible.
The Eagles of all teams win the Super Bowl with Nick Foles.
It might have been the depths of my depravity.
Just like, take
it
the
was
L.
Really bad.
It doesn't get worse. I don't know where you go.
I might have skipped past him.
In that moment, for people that are listening at home, Andrew Gundling, he produces The K Show.
Yes.
And he has a soccer podcast with porn star J.J. Devaney.
And he loves Philadelphia teams.
Loves Philadelphia
Eagles
teams.
At the top of the mountain, yes.
But more importantly, like when you think, you know, Philadelphia Eagles fan, Andrew Gundling is the furthest thing you would think of. You know, think about from it. He's the nicest guy.
So nice and is the exact, really, he's the opposite of me.
The polar opposite.
He's a fanatic and he goes crazy and once vomited after a team he was rooting against lost. But he's not going to be in your face about it. He's
nope.
not going to mock you about it. He's not going to throw shade on you. Like, he is a professional sports fan.
Yeah, he is a humble sports fan. He's like the, you know, Barry Sanders scores a touchdown, just
yes.
tosses the ball back to the referee
yes.
kind of guy.
Go Bird.
And I was
moment,
like Terrell Owens slamming the ball down
yes.
on the star. Yes.
In that moment, I honestly thought he was going to punch you right in
Were
the
you
face.
There for it? Because I
had
RJ
it.
Actually witnessed it.
I was standing right next to you. And the look on his face, I would just like to have had like some insight into what was going on in his brain. Like, it'd be like one of those. So have you seen the new previews for the movie Venom? The new
yes.
Venom?
Yes.
When like so he's got the voice in his head.
I like, will you fight should, you after this show.
Like, he's walking into the convenience store, whatever it is, in the Venom voice, and his head is like, "You should eat that lady." He's like, "No, I can't eat that lady." Like, that's Gundling's mom's like, I should punch him right in the face right now. No, I can't. It's at work. I can't do it.
I gotta be honest. If he would have punched me in the face and a fight would have ensued, we go to HR, like, all right, they have their notepads as attorneys, and like, what happened? Well, he went skipping by, mocking me like, "Dave, you deserve the punch." Like, I deserve to be hit in that moment.
Yeah, I mean, that's... It's open and shut, and I think
yes.
I would actually, I would have been a key witness, I think, for Andrew.
Yes, in retrospect.
Don't scream
don't
at me
defend
on the show!
Him. In retrospect, that was on me. Now, I stand by, Santiago is deceptively
I said
evil.
Already, Don, it was embarrassing!
Deceptively evil, and does stuff to incite me, which is maybe why I, in return, do the stuff I do. But Gundling does not deserve it.
You know who Gundling's like as a sports fan? Do you remember in the movie, I think it was Angels and Demons with Tom Hanks.
Do
you remember that movie at all?
Based on the book, right?
Yeah, but I think it was that movie. But it's the one guy who goes home like at night and then takes that and like hits himself with that like that thing. And like you can just see Gundling, like he won't say, like he seems like so soft spoken and calm,
yeah.
But then he gets home.
He definitely
like,
has a dark side.
He's punishing himself because the Eagles lose.
He definitely has a dark side.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I'm embarrassed, to be honest with you, Rick. I wouldn't have brought this up. But I guess it was brought up on the Michael Kay show yesterday. I'm embarrassed for Peter Rosenberg. I feel like he's doing this to, I don't know why, but I heard this, and I didn't actually hear the bit, but I heard this after the fact. He didn't give our producer, his former producer, RJ Santillo, a wedding present.
I can't believe it. I refuse to believe that.
But
like,
I
RJ's his guy.
He said, clearly not. Clearly not.
I mean, ENN doesn't happen without...
Drop Madness. Drop Madness is non-existent if not for RJ Santillo.
I don't get what happened. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean,
no.
Remember how mad they were at us that we took RJ with us to the morning.
Well, the only thing I can think of is maybe this is his salvo back in return. Like, he's like, you took him, you left my show, now I don't gift you. Maybe.
Well, no, but you got to start connecting the dots, though, Dave. I mean, you got to go back to the bar mitzvah.
When he was extra cheap.
So maybe this is just what he does.
Yeah, but now he's gone from being cheap to going nothing?
RJ, is this true? You got no wedding gift from Peter?
He doesn't even want to say anything. No registry,
guy's
nothing.
Busy. He's doing a lot of work for you guys.
Okay. So RJ's obviously on
he's
the phone.
He's avoiding the question.
His non-answer should speak volumes.
He's answering phones that aren't ringing right now because he's trying to avoid this.
But here's what I remember. I remember having my card for RJ and like for an hour I was walking around with it saying like where do I put this? Where do I put this?
That was an
actual
theme for the wedding. Like
remember that same thing?
People with cards and gifts for RJ was like, what do I do with this?
I didn't know what to do with it. And I could swear that Peter was like finding like, oh, there's a box behind where they're sitting, just put it in there. So Peter recognized the box was there, knew the appropriate thing was to give a gift, and yet didn't give a present at the wedding, and now comes up with this Emily Post belief from 50 years ago where you have up to a year to give a present for a wedding. It's embarrassing.
Wait, that's embarrassing. That's a thing? You can wait a year?
No, I think it used to be a thing. And even if it was at one point acceptable, I think it's embarrassing if you wait a year. Oh, come on.
I mean, at the very least, too, I mean, you're right. It took like 2 hours to find the gift box. They could have had the MC, that little nugget, dress up as like maybe like a wedding present elf or something and come collect the gifts.
Walk around with like the box, be like, all right. But I wonder if he's embarrassed by this.
It doesn't sound like he is.
How could you not be?
But remember when they did the bit on the show about the bar mitzvah and he was like impressed with himself what he gave.
Well, you know what's amazing to me? He's incriminating himself. Like nobody asked him. He's like, oh, by the way, you know, here's what I gave to the bar mitzvah. And they're like, wait, you gave what? He was like, that's right. And he gave cash, I remember. And then he said, I was going to give more, but I realized I needed like 20 or 40 bucks to get home properly. So I didn't give everything I had in my wallet. And let's be fair. I mean, the guy has multiple jobs. He has no kids that he has to worry about in finance. He's got no wife that's mooching off him at all. So the fact that he's not giving a present or giving a subpar, substandard present is embarrassing.
I'm not going to sit here and make excuses for him.
You can't. RJ, are you there?
Yeah, sorry. I was taking the winner of our lovely contest.
Sorry for calling on you at that moment.
No,
so
no problem.
Just confirm this. Peter gave you nothing?
That is correct.
All right, you had about, what, 10 or 12 people at the station at the wedding, correct?
Something like that, yeah.
Of the, let's say, 11, right? We'll split the difference. I don't need that music! Of the 11, how many would you say gave you a present?
I guess there would be 10 then.
So everyone but Rosenberg?
That's correct.
Did he reach out and say, like, okay, I'm going to give it at some point, but I just haven't yet?
He mentioned something about it. I think in person. It was a lot going on. He had a Washington football team helmet with him. I don't really know what was happening, but he did mention it.
Do you feel like your relationship is forever changed with Peter?
No, I don't think so. I think that's strong.
Did I hear this as well, that Rick was the winner?
Rick was.
Rick was the big winner.
Yeah. And listen, It's the kind of thing I'm not super comfortable responding, but if asked, I have to respond.
Well, I think we have to ask you.
Honestly, yeah.
Was he a runaway winner?
His gift was very generous. Michael's, I mean, listen, they all were. They were like all over the top, really, truly. But yes, he and Michael were kind of in their own class.
Really?
Yes.
I got to be honest. I felt like we did well, but I guess not.
You did it. You did well, but Rick was. If you were like in the clouds, Rick was like at the moon.
He was the Elon Musk of
SpaceX. Yes.
Yeah, the Jeff Bezos of gift giving.
He was, and he conducted the ceremony. What he did in its own right might have been the gift. He left without taking the gift I got for him, and trying to arrange a schedule with Rick is impossible to try and actually give it to him. So what he did that day is I can't repay that debt.
What do you mean the gift you got for him?
I got him a thank you, and I've been unable to deliver it thus far.
So you got him a gift, and Rosenberg hasn't gotten you a gift.
Yeah, when you say it like that, it's troubling. But yeah, that's how it went down.
Wow. So the man that actually got married is providing gifts, but the man who went to the wedding did not.
Well, I think I owe Rick that. I mean, what can you do for a guy like Rick when you're me?
I wanted nothing. I hate gifts.
He avoided this like the plague, truly. Like if my gift was COVID, he's him now. He doesn't leave his house, and that's how he handled it. He wouldn't respond to texts, to calls, to anything.
He doesn't want the present. No, I'll take it. What'd you get him?
I can't tell you.
Why?
Because it would ruin the surprise.
Can you tell me off the air?
Maybe. I don't know. You bring things on there, so probably not.
I'm hoping he just keeps it. Is what I'm hoping.
Well, it could be anything.
No,
could,
he probably got you like a personalized flask or something.
It could be
like
a live animal. You
like that.
Yeah, because you know me. Always walking around with that flask.
That's right. To hide it. On the bench for the high school games. What's Rick doing? Oh, it's a personalized flask. Yes. That's right. You get into a 5-on-3 situation. He drink his face off. But let's not bury the lead here. Rosenberg, just, I mean, repulsive.
Yeah, I don't know where you go from. I don't know where you go
from. You
know
what
maybe
he was doing? So today in the Jewish religion is Yom Kippur. And that's kind of, you know, you fast for all the sins of the prior year. Maybe he was coming clean in beginning to repent for the things that he did this prior year.
But it's not like the wedding snuck up on him.
No, I don't know.
The bar mitzvah didn't sneak up on him. Like he knew.
But the bar mitzvah might even be worse because he just gave a substandard gift. He could still meet the number of a respectable wedding present.
Yeah, but don't pretend. Like, don't walk up to the gift box and pretend like you're putting something into it.
He didn't do that, did he?
Well, I don't know. Maybe.
I don't think so. That would
he knew where it was.
Can you imagine that if he went up with like a pump fake and he pretended to put something in so we thought that he did? No, there's no way he did that because then he wouldn't do that and then come on air and be like, nope, I gave him nothing.
He folds up the menu.
He like folds it's an envelope up the napkin. He writes a little note. He writes a little note on it.
This right here is an IOU for a Lamborghini. You might want to hold on to this one.
There's a good chance I will give you $100 to $150 in the coming weeks, but I need it right now, so I can't do it. Wow, Peter.
One certificate for a free back rub.
That's right. Now, did he burn you also, RJ, with the girlfriend not attending?
No, he communicated. Now, she originally was going to come, but he did communicate that.
So you didn't have to pay out of your own pocket?
No.
Okay. I actually how about this?
You mean, yeah, no, like a just total no-show. No, that didn't
Ben's
happen.
Bar mitzvah, we had to pay, Rick, obviously in advance, had a person day and a half before. Oh, by the way, I'm not coming, and neither is my significant other.
See, that's risky business. So what I did, I got a piece of advice.
And then gave no gift.
That's tough. I actually shorted the number by a few, just in case that happened.
Well, you see, you're so smart.
Well, that was Andrew's mom's mom.
But who would think that? Who would think that someone close to me in my life would 2 days before be like, oh, by the way, I'm not coming.
Who was it? We need a name.
You don't want a name.
I think I know, actually.
I'm not going
to I refuse to reveal it.
I'm not bringing this on air. What we should bring on air, though, is some observations. It is now time.
If you say something like this...
That's a clown question, bro.
Or like this...
My best advice to you?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Those are the ramblings of what we refer to as a knob.
Yeah, let's go testy and then knob.
And these are knobservations.
All right. Knobservations. Already 6:50. We got to move this along here.
We'll move it along.
All right. Yeah, don't yell at me. Aaron Rodgers. He has an apparent enemy out there. Not sure if you're listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, which follows us here on this fine radio station. They had JerMichael Finley on, former tight end of the Packers, and here's what Finley said about Aaron Rodgers, who apparently doesn't take blame for anything.
He's a quarterback that doesn't never take blame for himself. He's that guy, if I throw the ball to the receiver, he's got to catch it wherever it's at. He's not a guy, if you go into the film room and he made a bad pass, he's not that guy that's going to raise his hand and say, oh, that's my bad. He's going to make sure the coaches know that that's all on you. I got the ball there, you got to catch the ball.
Which guy's the knob here, Finley or Rodgers?
Both. A double knob.
They're both knobs. I mean, he's a knob for telling people that.
But what is Finley doing? He's been out of the league for a long time. Well, what is the point? What is he trying to gain by going after
relevance.
Aaron Rodgers now?
Relevance.
I guess.
Well, I mean, there's obviously not a relationship there. There's obviously not a relationship there. But, I mean, that's the difference, right? People always ask, why does Aaron Rodgers only have one Super Bowl? Why? I think that's part of the reason.
Yes,
I think that's part
look.
Of the reason I do.
It's not a good look for former guys to come out and say you don't take responsibility for stuff. You're right.
No, it's not. All right. Well, the USC football job is open. You've probably heard. Clay Helton out. Urban Meyer, this didn't take long. He was asked about the job.
Just want to give you the opportunity to refute it.
There's no chance that I'm
I'm here committed to try to build an organization.
Yeah, he sounds very inspiring.
Yeah, yeah, and very committed to Jacksonville. I would have appreciated that more if he spoke in another language that I didn't understand. Because him saying that there's no way he's going to take the USC job means zero to me. Nothing.
I would agree. So I'll ask you this. I don't think he takes the USC job, but I'll ask you, is he the coach of the Jags this time next year?
No, I don't think so.
Not right now, I would lean no. Wow. I mean, the second that Helton got fired, there were all sorts of reports that he was talking about that walking away from Jacksonville because of health reasons.
Those health reasons, they pop up when things get...
Yeah, when your team is not good, the health is not good.
I mean, that is... Can we agree, though? That's the worst roster in the NFL.
They got hammered by the team we thought was going to be the worst team in the league.
They're bad.
Yeah.
And that game was not close. I know the final score was semi-close.
No.
That game was never close. All right. So, you know, you go to... This is big in any sporting arena, but baseball specifically. There's a lot of downtime. So if you check out the scoreboard out in the outfield a lot of times, you'll see personalized messages. Birthdays, anniversaries, whatever. So if you were at Oracle Park out in San Francisco recently, you may have glanced out there. And it wasn't a birthday. It wasn't an anniversary. No congratulatory remarks. It was, happy divorce, Max.
Divorce!
Back in the game. And they have a gigantic scoreboard out there. So whoever Max is, everyone knows
good
it.
Good for you, Max.
You're
welcome.
Out there.
Good for you.
Divorce at any moment.
That's
single
great.
And ready to mingle.
That's funny. Congratulations on your messy divorce,
see,
Max.
See, what you could have done is his buddies could have put a picture and his social media handle. So really
that's
get the
right.
ball rolling.
Maybe a phone number, something that the ladies could reach out to.
Yeah, but
Max.
If you put a phone number up there, I could see a bunch of drunk guys at a ball game being like, dude, text him right now.
You know what? How about a voicemail?
I'd be scared what you would get with that, actually.
You guys see, speaking of that, did you see, so Florida State lost to Jacksonville?
I saw the guy. You can't do it. I'm sorry.
You can't.
You can't do it.
Can't
the guy
do it.
Got down on a knee and proposed to his girlfriend as Jacksonville State is just won the game. Walk off. The only defense I have for the guy is he probably had like friends and family, you know, from around the country.
Yeah, I realize that though. But you just lost to Jacksonville State.
I know.
Florida State.
You got to rethink it.
They stink too. Boy, are they bad.
Yeah, and they almost beat Notre Dame.
Alrighty, so real quick, if you were by chance in the nation's capital for a football game last weekend, like the Giants will be tonight, you may have had some sort of liquid kind of raining down on you. So rumors swirled that it was a broken sewage pipe, and the Washington football team has vehemently denied that, saying it was instead rainwater. Regardless, there's a broken pipe and a leaking situation over the fans that hopefully has been remedied. In case you're going to the game tonight, but I'd imagine that its sewage would be among the worst things you could ever hear when any kind of liquid is pouring over a crowded fan base at an event.
I'll tell you what. If the Giants lose tonight, I hope raw sewage just pours out of my ceiling and drips all over.
No,
my
don't
face.
Say. Why would you say that?
Because that's how I would feel. It would be so appropriate. I will open my mouth like rainwater
no.
if the Giants lose tonight and raw sewage pours out of my ceiling. Yes. Yes.
That happened to our locker room at the Coliseum. We came back from a road trip.
What a shock.
There was like 3 feet of poop water in the locker room.
I can't think of nothing worse than that.
Dude, we used to come back sometimes. Like, I go into my toiletry kit to get something.
A
and
what?
There'd be like a, half
a what kit?
My toiletry kit.
Never heard of it.
No, you're a bad guy. And there'd be like a half-eaten protein bar, like a rat was in the bag eating the protein bar.
Maybe it's just the trainers who are like, hey, he's got a protein. Let's pretend like a mouse took a bite, but it'll be us. Great idea, Rodney.
A man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
Man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home. And telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
Why is he naked? No one will ever know. So imagine this. You're on the beach, and you see a man walking around in a Michael Myers suit from the Halloween franchise of movies. He has a fake bloody knife.
Oh, my God.
And he's just strolling around up and down the beach. So police receive calls, as you may have imagined. They stop by the beach, and there's all kinds of social media posts out there. They arrest the man in this Michael Myers suit, being arrested, literally on laying on the beach handcuffed. So they question this gentleman, and he said he was trying to bring positive vibes to the gloom and doom out there, generating some laughter, and hoping that restoring faith in humanity through humor. So taking a silly walk on the beach.
Very funny.
And subsequently, being arrested for disorderly conduct, accomplished any of that, then I'd do it all again every day.
We went to the beach recently in Newport, Rhode Island. Alex saw a jellyfish and was completely freaked out.
Those are risky business.
Could you imagine what I mean? If you're with your kids and you look up and there's a man dressed as Michael Myers on the beach, you're done.
So you know,
I'm probably just leaving the stuff on the beach. We're out. I'm not cleaning up. We're out.
So you know the question that follows: did this happen in Florida?
Oh goodness!
It is beach season.
Wow, it is beach season. It is a good point.
But it's beach season everywhere. So don't let him try to push you in that direction. See, I see what I think he's now done is tried to push me Florida, which means I will go anti-Florida. Not Florida, final answer.
All right.
I like to think in there. Oh, I just they think that's funny. I'm with Dave. I'm saying not Florida.
Raymond.
Part of me thinks that if it happened in Florida, people wouldn't even say anything. So I'll say not Florida.
Not Florida. Galveston, Texas, yes, is where this occurred.
See? Well done. Texas is worse.
Did this happen in Texas?
Yeah.
That's the spinoff to come.
D-hit coming next Tuesday.
All right. Nice job, gentlemen.
Well done, RJ.
Oh, I gotta be honest with you. I think he might be better than you.
He's right there.
I don't know.
He's terrific.
No, he's right there. Set up the way he sets up stories,
uses pacing. Full names. Very well done. He keeps it moving. Very, very well done.
A lot of trust in the speakers.
Oh, trust the speakers, baby. TTS. Dierks Bentley brings the Beers on Me Tour 2021 to Northwell Health at Jones Beach Theater on Friday, September 24th with Riley Green. And Rick's favorite, Parker McCollum. Be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN, to score a pair of tickets. Brought to you by Live Nation. Tickets on sale right now at livenation.com. All right, quick break, come back. Giants, this is a huge game. How do they win it? Are they 1-1 tomorrow? Is the sky falling? Is there raw sewage falling from my ceiling tonight?
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.